On today's episode, we talk about relationship heartbreaks,
what it feels like, and how to overcome it. All right. Hey, Natalie.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a good day.
It's a very good day.
It's a good month.
Yeah, I think so.
I love November.
For me, it is. I feel pretty good.
Yeah.
This time, this year, mm-hmm. because regardless of what happens, I feel like I really enjoy the holidays and it brings my spirits up.
Yep.
You know, how about you?
I love it. We went holiday shopping or decoration holiday shopping. Yeah,
that was fun.
So we're in my home right now and I'm just looking at these beautiful reindeers and, you know, just snow globe. It makes me happy.
Yeah, me too.
But with that being said, good transition into what we were going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So we are talking about
heartbreak.
Heartbreaks.
Dun, dun, dun.
How to deal with it.
How to overcome it.
What it looks like.
And how to overcome it.
And what that means.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, we have had our share of heartbreaks.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And heartbreaks in romantic relationships, but sometimes even heartbreaks in other relationships.
Yeah. Friendships could be heartbreaking too.
For sure.
But I think that I want to kind of focus on romantic relationships.
Let's do it.
And I also feel like there's a level of heartbreak. You know, my heartbreak in my 20s could be very different than the heartbreaks in my 30s.
Yep.
And I don't know, like, I just feel like it's different when you're in your 20s. Heartbreaks are like, I don't know, something from a movie and you're like, oh my God, I can't live. I'm going to die. I'm going to die if I'm not with this person.
Yeah.
Have you felt like that?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I had a session today with a client who is dealing with the heartbreak for the past few months and I was just really transparent with her and I told her that it's normal, obviously, but also it's this idea that, you know, you don't ever want to go through that painful feeling again when it comes to a heartbreak, but it's inevitable. It happens, right? So like to your point, you were saying your heartbreak, the feelings that come with a heartbreak is so different as an adult versus like when, let's say we were teenagers, but it still feels so bad.
Yeah, it does. It hurts, right? Your heart hurts. You're crying. You're feeling really sad, depressed, anxious of the future because you had this idea that this person is the one. At least for my first boyfriend, I was like, oh my God, this is the one. Mm-hmm. This is the one. And afterwards, all the other heartbreaks didn't feel like that for me. It was just, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Right.
But nevertheless, it's really hard to deal with a heartbreak because it takes time to grieve it out.
Yeah, absolutely. I remember my really long relationship in my early 20s. I remember every single time we would have a breakup, which happened pretty frequently towards the end of the relationship. I can laugh about it now.
Yeah.
But I remember there were times where I would be in a fetal position on the floor, feeling like someone punched me in my gut. And that feeling happened so frequently. And I remember thinking, this level of pain, physically and emotionally, has to be it. I can't go through this again. Right. And then sure enough, it happens again, right? So to answer your question, I think I've had my share of heartbreaks. I mean, my first heartbreak that I can remember was when I, you know, 14 years old, baby love, right? And then my long-term relationship in my 20s. And then in my late 20s. And I haven't had a heartbreak since.
Yay, congratulations.
It's kind of a big deal.
I was just thinking about when you were talking in regards to the heartbreaks that you've had in the past. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I don't think it gets easier. Mm-mm. And as much as we tell ourselves we're resisting from getting our hearts broken, it's sometimes inevitable.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? It's inevitable sometimes. You can't really protect yourself too much, but we are in this place in our life, in a stage of our life where we're pretty self-aware and we can kind of protect ourselves so that we don't end up in such a deep heartbreak full of pain.
Right.
You see, when you're dating and then you recognize that person is showing some red flags, you can kind of cut it off, right? It doesn't go too deep into the fetal position that you're talking about, where it's so dark and, you know, it takes a long time to get back on your feet.
Absolutely. Yeah. I was talking to this guy recently, and somebody I met on a dating site, and we were just having a chat, and he was sharing with me, I don't even think I actually told you this offline, but
I was like, wow, Adrena getting vulnerable. Okay.
No,
it was ears. Tell
it was
me.
It was a good conversation. He was telling me how the last person that he met online, he dated for a few months, maybe about 3 months. And at the end of that relationship, he didn't feel like it was a good fit. And although he didn't have a direct conversation with her about it, he was basically trying to ghost her. He was like, she kind of had that. She had that explosion of emotions where she was calling him all the time and anxious, what's going on? We need to talk. And in that conversation with him, obviously I addressed to him and said, you know, that's not cool. And P.S. I'm not talking to him anymore because that tells me his level of emotional maturity.
Right.
Red flag.
Yep.
But nonetheless, I told him, I'm in a place in my life where if I'm dating you, I want something to happen, of course, but if it's not a good fit, I'm okay to walk away from it, even if that means it's going to make me really sad. I'm not going to fight for something if we're not, you know, if we're not connected, if
that makes sense. Or aligned or compatible.
Not because I want to avoid a heartbreak. Of course, I don't want a heartbreak. However, I don't want to put myself in a position where I'm going to have that gut-wrenching feeling at the end of it if it doesn't work out, if that makes sense.
Yes. And that just kind of brought me to the question of, like, how do you not have a heartbreak, right? Like, how do you prevent yourself from having a heartbreak? Because when you're younger, you are not self-aware, mm-hmm. that you don't have a lot of emotional maturity at that age. You think love is, you know, a verb, and that's all you know about love. Mm. And you see all these movies of, like, Love Actually and all mm-hmm. the other romantic movies, thinking that love is supposed to be like that. But love is not supposed to be like the movies and mm-hmm. the shows that we watched or grew up with, right?
Right.
So I just think that the meaning of love for me and how I see it has changed over time. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I think that it's created this maturity and understanding of what love truly is, mm-hmm. and not how we want love to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how you prevent from heartbreak or divorce, right? Because divorce is heartbreak too. Mm-hmm. And dating somebody for, I don't know, 7 years, that's also heartbreaking, even mm-hmm. if somebody isn't married.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To answer your question, you said, how do you prevent it? Or how do you?
Yeah. Like, how do you get to a point where you're just not getting to a point where it's like this constant heartbreak and one relationship to the other?
Mm. So I think, like you said earlier, I do feel like heartbreaks are inevitable. When you love someone, regardless of whether you go into that fantasy land or not, maybe it's a healthy relationship and it's just not working out. But when you have love for someone, that's being very vulnerable. That's feeling very connected. And when that ends, that's really hard. With that being said, heartbreak feelings come up. Feelings of grief comes up, right? Now, the level of emotion, such as I'm going to die if this person isn't here in my life, that tells you something about your self-awareness, right? You're not going to die with that person not being here. It's a beautiful thing that you were connected to this person. It's just not, it's not aligned. You're not aligned anymore. Both of you guys are not aligned with one another. But if you're going into that space of, oh my God, I can't live without this person. No, you can live without this person. You just need yourself to live, right? And so I don't know if we can ever prevent an actual heartbreak, but we can prevent us from spiraling in the heartbreak.
You just mentioned something so deep.
Which part?
You said you just need yourself mm-hmm. to live. And I don't think a lot of people recognize that. Mm-hmm. And when you are in fear-based, mm-hmm. I feel that you might experience that loss so profoundly, mm-hmm. thinking you're never going to find that love again. And you just kind of overgeneralize it, thinking I'm never going to find someone. This is the end.
I don't want to be alone.
Exactly. I'm not loved. But that's just you processing your emotions and experiencing grief, which is the stages of grief. Mm-hmm. And I just think that people need to go from like anxious attachment to being secure enough to recognize that you can give the love to yourself so freely and unconditional love so that you allow someone else to provide that for you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, that's really profound. And I think the mistake a lot of people make is the heartbreak feels so bad. Those emotions feel so bad that they are willing to deal and tolerate with something that, or someone who is not aligned with them. And what ends up happening is even though you may not be alone with that, you know, because you have that person there, that relationship then becomes really toxic.
Yeah.
That's heartbreak too.
Exactly. I think just to add on to what you just mentioned, it's this fantasy like, you know, mentality that you would have. And I know this because I was in a toxic relationship, a narcissistic one. We talk about that, right? I freely, vulnerably talk about that. Mm-hmm. But, it, you know, I take responsibility for also having this fantasy like world that I was creating of me and the other person, but that wasn't real. Mm-hmm. I wasn't true to myself, and I was too deep into the relationship where I thought, oh, my love can save this relationship. Mm-hmm. It can get better. But I just, it never does. Mm-mm. And why was I in that situation? Which a lot of people who are experiencing heartbreak in this season is also feeling, right? Because have you noticed that a lot of people go through breakups, at least with clients, a lot of people go through breakups, cheating, divorce in this season.
In this season, yeah, totally.
Yeah, so as you know, we are also in, we're therapists who are helping our clients heal through this breakup. Mm. But why does that happen during this season, do you think?
You know, I think with the holidays, I feel a variety of things, but I think that there is this idea with holidays where it's, you're connected, it's family, it's love, it's happy, it's cuddle season, Netflix and chill season, all of that good stuff. And when, let's say for women who they're not getting that validation from their partner, where in this like time of the season where validation is, you know, up and there's a high expectation for it, I guess.
100%.
Then they're going to seek that outside of their relationship. And then for, let's say, the other partner, they are feeling this pressure to give when they may be feeling like, wait a minute, we're good. Why do I have to keep giving more? Or why do I feel this amount of pressure? And they're going to try to escape that and they're going to try to find it somewhere else. So I'm not to sound sexist, but I generalized it with women needing the validation, but men also can need the validation as well.
And I do think, you well said, by the way.
Thank you.
That's, I mean, I didn't even know what else to say to that. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, gems dropping left and right. You're on a good one right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
No, I'm with you on that. I feel like during this time, people are more sensitive to things and they don't have like rose-colored glasses, and they might be seeing things or experiencing things where the other partner is not validating them, and it's just a collection of things. And so people become a lot more emotional during the holidays, and I feel like there's something universally, it's beyond that, I feel like there's something universally weird about breakups during the holidays, that it happens more often than not, because usually holidays are supposed to be like connecting and all of that, but it's not.
I also was thinking, like, when you were saying it's universal, why, right? At least for us, it's cold. We don't want to go out. I just want to be home. I don't know. That just crossed my mind. I thought of cuddle season, right? Like, this is the time where I'm like, I just want to be home with my partner and I want to cook a meal and not really go out because it's so cold. And for people that live on the East Coast, it's snowing and you really can't go out. And so you're really confined sometimes to being at home. And that really amplifies your feelings of loneliness, I think. So I think it's a combination of the holidays. And I also think it's a combination of just the season that we're in, where it's colder and
cuffing season.
Cuffing season. That's what it was. Yeah, cuffing season. I was like, cuddle season. No, it's cuffing season.
Yeah.
Wait, isn't cuffing when you're literally cuffing, like handcuff, like you're trying to catch them?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
same thing as like cuddle season.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. You caught them in a season where it's like they're at home. But you know, more so during this season is when there's a lot of betrayal trauma.
Mm.
Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Betrayal trauma by another partner, mm-hmm. whether it's like emotional cheating or physical cheating.
Mm-hmm.
I've noticed, and I don't know if it's scientific, but I've noticed a lot of the times this is the season where people are recognizing what's really going on in their lives, mm. and just addressing that with their partners. So the reason why I say there's level of heartbreak, because you can feel heartbroken with someone that you've been with for 7 years or 8 years, 10 years, whatever that is. And you recognize you guys aren't aligned with values, right? I have clients where they weren't aligned because one person wanted to have a kid and the other person didn't, mm-hmm. and that didn't change their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's heartbreaking, right? Because mm-hmm. you experience, you know why I think it's heartbreaking? Because you have a vision and this idealized version
mm-hmm.
of what you want that relationship to be like.
Yep.
I feel like people are so stuck in the future or the mm-hmm. past mm-hmm. that they're not seeing the current situation. They're not recognizing mm-hmm. that, okay, what do I have in front of me right now? Mm-hmm. Right? My partner is saying they don't want to have a kid. Oh no, that'll change, right? We justify it. We rationalize it. Oh, mm-hmm. maybe they'll change their minds. Maybe this, maybe that. Guess what? 7 years later, they haven't changed their minds. It's heartbreaking
mm-hmm.
when you really fully see the truth. And then there's the other side of heartbreak
mm-hmm.
where you've been with that person and you've gotten married with them
mm-hmm.
And you thought you were aligned and all of a sudden you aren't, right? Yeah,
that happens a lot too.
Yeah. That's what I mean by level of heartbreak.
I see.
Mm-hmm. And the heartbreak is the same.
Mm-hmm.
The feelings are the same. You're still grieving mm-hmm. the loss,
mm-hmm.
but you're really grieving the future.
I love that. That's very profound. It's so true. Now you're dropping gems.
Ooh, you like that?
No, it's so true, because that is what I'm constantly articulating to clients. What I think for our own personal selves, and whether it's friends or family or whatever, that's something that I emphasize. When you're going through a loss, you gotta grieve the relationship. And it's not just even grieving, it's in addition to grieving the relationship, it's also grieving the idea you had of the relationship.
You're also grieving your old self.
You have to. If you want to go about it the healthy way, and that's the thing that I think causes people to get stuck, is they don't want to grieve their old self. And this is why you end up jumping from one relationship to the other. And it's the same type of person, but their heads are different. The bodies are the same, obviously figuratively speaking, but their heads are different. It's a different person every time, but the same package.
Right.
And it's sad.
Yeah, it really is. And I just feel like the stages of grief, which not a lot of people know,
mm-hmm.
and this is something that I explain to my clients when they're grieving a loss, any kind of loss, a loss of a loved one, a loss of a heartbreak, a loss of a relationship, you know, you go through denial and shock, mm-hmm. right? You're just shocked.
Right.
The first stage.
Numb.
And then
the people say numb with that denial state. Like, I feel numb to it. That's what I hear a lot.
Exactly. Because they're stuck.
Right.
They want denial. To be stuck in that cycle. Mm-hmm. And denial can go for a long time, believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And then there's the sadness
mm-hmm.
that comes with the grief.
Mm-hmm.
There's anger. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to get that person.
Mm-hmm.
There's this revenge mm-hmm. that people might experience.
Yeah.
And then there's a bargaining stage where you look back and you're thinking, could things have been different? What could I have done? Or what could the relationship have been mm-hmm. like? And then it's the acceptance. But in the middle of all of it, it's not chronological. You can kind of go back and forth. You know, you've experienced heartbreak. I've experienced heartbreak. I remember going from sadness to anger to anger to sadness to mm-hmm. bargaining to anger. Mm-hmm. You know, I just kind of flip-flopped for so long until it got to an acceptance phase.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and even in your journey and mine as well, it definitely takes time. There is no blueprint to grief. There is no blueprint to loss. And there is a misconception that when a relationship ends, that the person's not dead. So why am I, I'm not going to grieve it. No, you absolutely are grieving it. And the, sometimes some people stay in anger for a long time. And to your point, it's not chronological. It's all over the place. It's not a blueprint. What is so important is stepping back and really asking yourself, is this, you know, was this relationship the one for me? And if the answer is no, I was crying all the time. I was sad all the time. I was alone, even in my relationship, or I was fighting all the time, or he was picking on me all the time, or he was controlling all the time, whatever it was, then you have to ask yourself, okay, is it worth it? No. All right. Then I got to start going through my phases of grief. I got to grieve this relationship.
Yeah.
Otherwise that, right? How often, I know for me, I could speak for myself. I literally went from one relationship to another. And even the guys I dated here and there, very similar types of guys. And I got tired of feeling sad. I got tired of feeling sad of even being in my relationships. That needed to end. And that required me to self-reflect and be single. It's the longest time I've ever been single. And I'm okay with that. I don't like it. Sometimes I'm so big about, especially with my clients, I'm not this righteous person. I'm a therapist, but I'm not righteous. I'm human. I hate being alone. I do not like being alone. We talk about this all the time. I don't like being alone. It's not fun. It's not exciting. But honestly, I love my peace. I'll take this peace and wait until the right person comes along or until I meet the right person. Natalie's looking left and right because I know she's already thinking, you can't wait for the right person to come. I already know what you're thinking. You're thinking, should I say this in this podcast or wait for the next episode? How you accurate know me am too I? Well. But my point is, I mean, ultimately, what the point that I'm trying to make is, it's not worth getting into a dynamic where you're jumping from one situation to another. You gotta go through those stages of grief when it comes to heartbreak. And that's so hard. And people don't have to do it alone. That's the other thing I wanted to say. I'm on a roll. I feel very strongly about this, obviously. There's so much shame when it comes to this type of breakup.
Oh, you said it.
There's so much shame, I think, you know, especially when families are involved, especially when friends are involved.
Guilt and shame.
Guilt and shame. And it's like, now you have friends that you met through your partner that now it's like, wait, I'm not going to have those friends anymore. There is so much shame, guilt, and just like overwhelming feelings where it really does sometimes interfere with going through the stages of loss, right? And sometimes causes some people to go back. But anyway, I just wanted to say that.
Yeah. And one of the things that I want to talk about regarding shame and guilt, you just brought up something so important, is that people not only grieve the loss of the relationship, but they're also going through the stages of anger and not basically blaming themselves. Mm-hmm. Why did I put myself in that situation? Why was I that way? Right? When you get out of a relationship, you start self-reflecting. You've noticed that.
Well, we do now.
Right. But in your relationship and the relationships of with your clients.
Yes.
When they're out of the relationship, they're seeing it from the outside and thinking, wow, I was gaslit, I was manipulated, mm-hmm. I was abused, I didn't even know. It's mm-hmm. because people experience what's called cognitive dissonance. Mm-hmm. Yes. They only want to believe the things that they want to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Can you talk about cognitive dissonance a little bit more? Can you explain what that means?
Cognitive dissonance is when someone believes one thought mm-hmm. to be true. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. For example, they think that, you know, oh, they justify somebody else's the behavior. Mm-hmm. They would say, oh, you know, like he was sorry or she was, you know, she was sorry. They won't do it again. So they want to only believe that mm-hmm. and not recognize the other abusive behaviors. Mm. That's why people stay in a relationship longer than they should be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like cognitively their brains are like basically forget about all the bad stuff
right.
and like focus on the good stuff.
Yep.
Right.
Exactly.
Because it's like, whatever the individual's trigger is or whatever the individual's story is, their brain is just, I want to hold on to this good stuff.
Right.
Because the dopamine, right?
Yeah.
That makes me feel good. But
and then it's
a disaster.
Hope.
It's the hope. Yes.
The hope of, you know, someone changing. And to be honest, no one changes unless if they want to. And no one changes unless if they go to therapy. I said it. I'm sorry. That's biased.
Don't drop the mic, but drop the mic.
You know?
Yeah.
Or you had to have gone through something really, really, really traumatic in your life, like really hit rock bottom, mm-hmm. to say, what can I do to work on myself? Mm-hmm. Does that mean hire a coach, a spiritual coach, go mm-hmm. on a spiritual journey, go on, you know, master classes? What am I going to do to better myself and be the best version of myself? Otherwise, people don't just wake up and change. They don't.
No. And I think where I was going with earlier when I said the family and friends and shame and guilt, this is what I was thinking. My trail of thoughts is, we fall back on our friends and family for support and guidance and understanding. But because there's so much shame and guilt, sometimes we stop going to them because, you know, my friends in the past used to say, oh, are we going to get back on the roller coaster with me? They would always say, are we going to get back on the roller coaster again? And what they would mean is highs and lows with my ex-partner. Right. And so I stopped going to them and I stopped talking to them about it because I felt so much shame within myself and then even from them. And of course their intentions were good because they were tired of seeing me cry and sad all the time with this particular individual. But at the same time, you know, they
allowed you,
they can't do any, I mean, it was my choice. So why I say that is because it's important to go to a person who's unbiased, whatever that person looks like. To your point, a therapist, of course, because we are therapists, this is what we do, but it doesn't have to be a therapist, just someone that's not biased to you because they're, you know, attached to you. And you don't want to hear
protective.
You don't want to hear someone say protective. Exactly. Are we about to get on the roller coaster again? Because, you know, it's like, I'm not going to tell you anymore because now I feel extra shame. Right.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it's really important to be supportive, but also set boundaries with someone who's going through it and they can't see clearly. Mm-hmm. It's important to be supportive, that mm-hmm. let your friend know you're still there, but you know, you're going to set boundaries, in certain ways that don't serve you. And that's okay too, but still Absolutely. Recognize that they have to go through their own journey. And once they recognize it and open their eyes and take out the rose colored glasses, then they'll start seeing. But guess what? That's the thing about friends. You have to be supportive. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate my friends because when I was in a narcissistic relationship, I felt isolated. I felt the shame. I couldn't tell them. I went back and forth. You know what I mean? Because, you know, shame is I am bad for doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You see? And it's debilitating.
Totally.
So I just feel like it's okay for your friends to go through what they need to go through and experience it themselves because, you know, this as a therapist, no matter what we tell our clients, mm-hmm. even if we tell our clients, this is toxic, mm-hmm. they have to go through it to experience it.
Right.
And we'll that's
still
okay.
say, we will still say it's toxic, but they still have to go through it.
Exactly.
We don't judge them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I love that. I love what you said about friends, because how many times has it come up for you where you're working with a client, they're not going through a breakup, but let's say like their sister is going through a breakup or their brother is going through a breakup or their friend is, and it bothers them and where it causes like separate, you know, they want to isolate themselves from this individual, right? Because they're tired of saying the same thing over and over again. And so I think it's really great that you brought up friends and support, because that is so important. When you are seeing a friend go through a breakup and it's over and over and over again, your job is to not fix them. Your job is to not
heal them.
Your job is to just be on the sidelines and support them.
I agree.
Keep your advice and unsolicited advice to yourself unless they ask you. And if they're constantly asking you the same thing over and over and over again, this just came up with a client the other day who told me she keeps bringing up every week I see her, because we see each other once a week, they're on and then they're off, they're on and they're off. And I'm getting really tired of it. And that's going to cause resentment. And this is what I said to my client is, your job, you have to check yourself. If you're feeling overwhelmed, by this individual's constant back and forth and their heartbreak and they're coming to you, you have to be honest with yourself and say, I'm not here to fix them. I'm here to support them and articulate that. You know, you keep bringing up this breakup and it really hurts me to see you this way. I want to be there for you. I want to support you, but I cannot talk about the breakup anymore. I'm here for you.
Yeah, that's really good.
Stay on the sidelines.
Also, what I was thinking about when you were saying it about, you know, the friend is that friends are mirrors. Everybody's a mirror to us. Mm-hmm. Our relationships are mirrors, whether mm-hmm. that's a boyfriend, a significant other, husband, friend, whoever that is, parents, they're mirrors. So what's coming up for you is what I would tell my mm-hmm. client. There's something coming up for you that's triggering for mm-hmm. your friend to go back and forth in and out of a relationship.
Yep.
So I would self-reflect on that and think about why is it triggering for you?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So now that we talked about, you know, what heartbreak looks like, what people go through when they are going and when they're experiencing heartbreak, mm-hmm. let's talk about like how to recover from heartbreak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the first thing that comes up for me is number one, taking time and being mindful that you have to take time. Number two for me is self-compassion. You have to give yourself that those compassion statements, not even positive affirmations, but those compassion statements of I'm human, I'm going through something right now, I'm overwhelmed, I'm okay. So self-compassion, I think, is important. Self-care. I always say what I say is for my clients or for anyone that's going through a breakup is you got to schedule stuff in your schedule. Like literally, take your schedule and schedule 30 minutes of I'm going to go and get a drink from Starbucks or whatever, a coffee drink. I'm going to go hang out with this friend. So fill your schedule. Those are the first things, three things. I have more, but let's hear yours.
Yeah, I had a thought when you were saying it mm-hmm. because when you were talking about schedule something, mm-hmm. I was thinking about I wouldn't be able to do that when I'm going through a heartbreak. Mm. And everybody's healing stages, I believe, is very different. Mm. When I go through a heartbreak, mm-hmm. and again, there's levels of heartbreaks because, mm-hmm. you know, I've been through a heartbreak where I just got over it in a couple of days. I've been through a heartbreak where I had to go through it like I had to basically experience it for years until I got to an acceptance, mm-hmm. really. Mm-hmm. So when I was thinking about my heartbreak, I had to ride the wave mm-hmm. is what I would tell my clients mm-hmm. because the wave of emotions, I tell my clients to experience it, ride the wave, the sadness, the grief, and externalize your emotions versus internalize them. So when you're going through a breakup, journal. I know this sounds cliche. I tell my clients it sounds kind of cliche, but it works. One of the things that helps me heal and helped me heal is not only going to therapy, but journaling. And sure, again, everybody's healing journey is different. Like you said, you might, you know, schedule things and that's great. But I tell my clients, allow yourself to feel and do whatever feels good for you. Obviously, when you're stuck in the depression stage, you know, where the sadness is, people get depressed. I don't want them to get stuck in that depression stage, but you have to go through those feelings, journal it. It's okay to take the time to cry. It's okay to be at home and not do anything, but that's me. And I allow my clients or I allow people to grieve however they need to, but also I let them know it's okay to just be home and do nothing but, I don't know, read healing books and journal and do those things. So it's interesting that you brought that up in regards to what you know, what you would tell your clients. Is that how you would also yeah. take care of yourself?
I think for me, what I do with my clients is I tell them exactly that. What may have worked for one may not work for another. And to your point, you're absolutely right. Scheduling stuff, and sometimes people are so in that, let's say, denial space where they're just like, no, I need to just crash and be at home and just not do anything. So I, to your point, I think you have to do what works best for you, but I definitely think having the options and then determining what works versus what doesn't work is probably the best route. Ultimately, you got to feel your feelings, yeah, whatever that looks like. So like, there's been a couple of times where some, you know, individuals feel so overwhelmed with emotion that they can't feel the emotion and they'll be in that numb space. So just like, I am so numbed out that you won't even answer my phone calls for me to be angry. I'm so numb, right? And what I suggest for those in those cases is A, talk to someone if you can. B, connect with your family and friends. Or C, if none of those two options are available to you, then C, maybe put on a song that's really, really sad. Be in your safe space. Let that song come and let the emotions come to you and cry it out during those 3 minutes.
Bingo.
Put some structure to it.
Yeah.
That's because the other thing is I don't want to cry because once I start crying, I can't stop crying. No, you can put some structure to it. You just have to give yourself permission to do that. Put that song on, 3 minutes, cry it out.
I agree. I was just going to say how like feeling numb is actually, if my client says that, that's more of a frightening thing feeling for me versus like I'm feeling sad. Mm-hmm. So yes, I agree with numb. When you're feeling numb, like you have to make sure you dedicate some time alone to grieve it out. And when you were talking about a soundtrack or like music, I was thinking about like listening to Adele. Mm. Adele was, everybody has their soundtracks, right? But Adele was my self-care music to experience the grief and go through it. And to be honest, healing, I feel healed.
Mm.
I'm not going to lie. After all those heartbreaks, I feel healed in many ways. My past. Now the future, we're going to experience heartbreak no matter what happens. Whether you're in a relationship, heartbreaks happen when you grieve out, I don't know, you cut off a family member or friendship or whatever that is. Heartbreaks is destined to be there. You just have to learn to go through the grieving stages. It's inevitable, like I said. So on that note, I just wanted to say that this is my favorite quote when it comes to healing. I say to my clients and I say it to myself, healing is not a destination. It is a journey.
Love that. And I think that's such a good place to end.
Yeah. That's, do you have a quote for healing?
I like don't.
What? You do.
Off the top of my head.
You do.
I'm full of analogies. I love to give analogies that. in the when I'm articulating, because I have all these images in my head. I mean, when it comes to a breakup, what's the thing that comes to my mind?
Yeah. Tell me.
When a mirror falls on the floor and unfortunately it really falls and it crashes and the first couple of times it almost fell and you try to catch it and you caught it, but the third time it actually falls and crashes, you cannot pick up those shattered glasses because all you'll do is you'll keep bleeding and cutting yourself. Let go of the mirror, sweep it up and find another mirror.
Oof, that's deep.
A nice one.
That's deep.
Something that fits your house. Versus,
I have a nice mirror now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. You stopped picking up those shattered glasses.
Yes, I did.
And you, cause all you kept doing is bleeding and bleeding out and no more of that. You realize I need to get the broom. Your broom was your therapist and you cleaned up the floor. No more glass on the floor.
Yep.
And guess what? You put it in the trash and oops, did I say that? And
nope,
you got a new mirror.
It's in the trash and it's disposed somewhere. That
somewhere else.
I don't know where it
got
is.
Got refurbished and somewhere else. Anyway, I guess we're going off on tangent, but this is good.
I guess what I'm trying to say is healing is possible. You just have to go through it. You have no other choice.
You have to go through it. You have no other choice.
Yeah.
I could really run with my analogy and say, you got to go to a few different Home Goods until you find the right mirror, but don't give up.
Yeah.
Anyway, this was really good. I feel like it's super helpful. Again, always reach out for help and support. You don't have to do this alone. Natalie and I specialize in relationships. We're really big about these issues and there's so many other resources out there. Again, we'll link it in down below. And thanks for listening, everybody.